Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome back, Sports Plus to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. Under AM Dial. Twins off tomorrow. They pick it up Friday right here, 6:30 pregame in Kansas City. They won 14-4 today to take the series from Oakland. 14-4 without a home run and nine different players with RBI. Wow. There's always something strange that happens at the ballpark that I haven't seen before. Joining us now, the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Bernadia Johnson, and she has an interesting story to tell. She has worked in public education for most of her life, including 15 years in the Minneapolis public school systems, 10 as the superintendent, also in Memphis, Minnesota State, Mankato. It is a life devoted to education. She's seen everything. She's been in the middle of the controversial firestorms, and she's seen the progress being made in the city. She's seen what needs to be done in the inner city to change it. And Bernadia, we've got a number of things I want to talk to you about, so I'll get right to it. But thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start with education in Minneapolis, because we've seen the education gap in the studies. Then we saw COVID come through, and then we saw a teacher strike. You lived this for a long time. What concerns you the most over the next 5 years for the kids that are getting educated in Minneapolis right now?
So, Mike, I think the main thing that concerns me is that the overall culture of the organization, there's a lack of trust among the stakeholders. I would wish that people would communicate with one another and be transparent about the challenges and the great opportunities. We have great kids in Minneapolis public schools, and they deserve the best education possible. And I think I know when folks are not talking to one another, not communicating, not trying to come up with shared solutions and strategies, how detrimental that can be for students' overall outcomes.
Is that faculty to administration? Is that administration to school board? Where's the breakdown?
Well, I guess it's hard for me because I'm still on the outside. So
Yep.
I'm doing a little backyard quarterbacking here a little bit, right?
Yep.
And so I'm only talking as a person who's been within the system. And what I know is that it's absolutely necessary to get past whether you like each other or not. Get to the table and do your damn job. And for me, that's what's important. So it's not clear to me exactly, but I would say all the stakeholders need to set aside their egos and sit down and talk about what they can do on behalf of children in Minneapolis. So, you know, I could be a good backyard quarterback, but I'm not in there, so I probably should not be as, you know, opinionated, but I am. I can't help it.
Compare and contrast Minneapolis to Memphis, the school systems. You've worked in both. Are they similar or are they completely different?
Well, they're really different. At the time I was in Memphis, it's the 19th largest school district in the country. And when I went to Memphis, people were still paddling kids. So we're not doing that in Minnesota. So we're very progressive in Minnesota, and the district was mostly African-American students, mostly African-American teachers, but had its challenges with the achievement gap. But with the help of some great leaders in schools and some great associate superintendents, there were some really good changes made under the leadership of Dr. Carol Johnson. I was her deputy superintendent. And so I know that the unions, it was interesting in Memphis, the teachers and the principals were in the same bargaining unit.
Really?
And that's just unheard of here. And
you think that's better and healthier or not?
Well, I think it has its advantages. So it's not people pointing the finger at each other. We're all in the same, you know, fishbowl together. So we talk to one another. So I thought there was a level of understanding and ability to talk to each other because you were in the same bargaining unit. But I also know that that it was a system that also had the state could take over districts in Tennessee. And that can't happen here, which is a luxury here, which means you do have local control. You have the opportunity to be in control of your destiny. You have the opportunity to come up with localized strategies that are best for the system and the schools that you serve. And so I think, for me, that brings a level of autonomy from the state to the districts that wasn't necessarily in a school district in Memphis, we had schools that were not achieving the best results for students.
Where do activities in sports play? What role do they play in overall education for kids?
Well, what I know is that I always think about the three A's, arts, academics, and athletics. And for me, athletics plays a huge role in the engagement of students. It teaches sportsmanship. It teaches collaboration. It teaches students how to get along with one another, and it gives people something to really feel good about, right? And so you have students out there playing, and it also forces the school to say you have to be eligible to play, so that means you have to keep your grades up. And so when I was in Minneapolis, it was important for the athletic directors to make sure that they were also asking kids, how are your grades? So it's kind of this reciprocity. But athletics can bring a whole community together. But we need that same kind of effort coming together around academic achievement as well.
Can you do that? You know, Minneapolis North is a good example. They bring people together through their athletics. Can you bring people together through academics? Do we do enough to celebrate it? Do we do enough to set up an infrastructure so that people are proud of their academics?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, that's we try to celebrate schools, and maybe it's not. I remember one year Southwest was on the top U.S. News top high school in the state and in across the country, one of them. And, you know, people like, well, why are you celebrating them? Look at their student population. But regardless of the student population, every school that is achieving excellence should be celebrated. And Henry was on that list as well. There are things that we do. You know, there's the citywide, like, chess club and the debate club and things like that that students are engaged in as well that we try to celebrate. I say we. Look, I've been gone for like 6 years.
Yeah, but you're still in the community. You're still part of the community.
I live in the community.
You told me yesterday, you can't, once you've been involved in Minneapolis, you said you can't shake it. You can't move on. It lives in you.
It lives in you. I mean, for those of us, you could ask anybody, even if we're disappointed, even when we think things could be better and we know things could be better, even when things are really bad, people who worked in Minneapolis, led in Minneapolis, on the board, in the classroom, you know, even with everything that's going on, we still want to be optimistic because the alternative is not okay.
It's not
the
okay.
Alternative is not good. So, that's why, I mean, I have relatives. When I made a decision about any school or anything in Minneapolis, try going to Thanksgiving with a bunch of educators. I tell you, I had to finally say, look, you guys, if you're going to, like, pick apart my decision at the Thanksgiving dinner, it's already happening at the school board.
Give me at least an hour here to just eat some turkey,
give me
huh?
An hour. Let me eat a deviled egg. Let me just have a cocktail or something. Oh, no. They would light right in on me.
I want to take a commercial break and come back because that is part and parcel. That has something to do with the other reason that I'm having you on here tonight is, you know, you were a leader, the stress of it, the understanding of it, the understanding your health, along the way, particularly in a stressful position. And some of that has caught up with you, and we will explain that when we come back. Bernadia Johnson is our guest, former superintendent of schools in the Minneapolis School District. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Bernadia Johnson is our guest, former superintendent of schools in the city of Minneapolis and beyond. Now I want to get to the difficult part of this conversation. And I want to start with lots of people's lives have been turned upside down over the last few years for different reasons, COVID-related and beyond, and lots of reasons for it. But Bernadia, I want to walk you back to 2019. You suffered the tragedy that many people think of when they entered this world, and that is, if I get married, who may go first? You lost your husband of 42 years. Explain what happened in your relationship with him that was such a rock in your life.
Well, my husband was one of my main supporters of me, encouraged me to go back and get an advanced degree, was there when I thought about applying to Minneapolis to be a principal. He was just a rock for me, for my family and friends and colleagues, just a rock, just a lovely man. And when I left Minneapolis in 2015, when my grandparents were ill, he helped me take care of them. He helped me help them transition off this earth. He was there every single day doing everything he could to make sure they were comfortable and maintain their dignity. He was a part of that with me in the caregiving. And then he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And we're like, we know people with prostate cancer. He can beat this.
Yeah.
But he waited late. And it metastasized to his bladder and his stomach. And he died August 19th in 2019. Mm-hmm. So I lost my life partner. I lost my someone who I was going to be living my golden years with.
Yeah, your soulmate. Yep.
We were together longer than we were alive.
Yeah,
you know?
42 and years of marriage, yeah.
Yes, I mean, it's quite a feat, quite frankly.
Yes,
and
it is.
I miss him dearly,
I'll bet you every day.
Every single day. It is hard. But I have friends and family who are there supporting me. And when I have my toughest days, they remind me to smile and think about the time we had together.
Yep.
And he was just a gentle, soul. He was not high strung like me. You know, he was like, took everything in stride. You know, it's like, you know, he would just say, dear. And he was an assistant principal in Minneapolis. And I get mad at him one day. I was late for a principal's meeting. And I got to the meeting. I looked at him and said, why didn't you tell me it was a principal's meeting? He says, well, you're the boss. I thought you would know. Humor and everybody loved him.
Okay, and there's no guarantee that just because you lose one that things won't get better in your life necessarily. You got a diagnosis that we all fear. Explain.
Yes, I got a diagnosis and didn't know. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure and with diabetes, and I would go to my doctor and she shared with me that my kidney function was declining, but I never thought about that, meaning that I would go into kidney failure and have kidney disease. And she said, you need to see a kidney specialist. And what I know about myself is that I was so preoccupied with trying to do my service to Minneapolis. And I'm not putting the blame on the district. It was my decision not to go to doctor's appointments when I made them. I canceled them. It was my decision. When I got there, I was running late from something and I was preoccupied and didn't listen well enough that my own health started to be impacted. And so now I'm dealing with advanced renal disease from kidney failure. And I'm trying to live each day to the fullest and trying to figure out what I can do. And a friend recommended that I tell people that I hadn't told a lot of people. I think because, first of all, I didn't know what the reaction would be. And I just couldn't deal with people like, well, you know, shame on you kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, high blood pressure and diabetes are endemic in African-American communities. And there's a high, there's disproportionate number of people of African-American descent who have kidney disease. I think I forwarded you a New York Times article that was just came out yesterday on this. And so the more I learn, the more I understand that it's really about, you know, how you handle your health. You know, first of all, you know, I wasn't very active like I should have been in terms of physical activity. And, you know, and that eating, I need to change my eating habits and those type of things. But I really am at a point now where I feel like I can be a person to talk about this so that I can share with others, especially female leaders. All leaders, I think sometimes we just don't take care of ourselves. Not that I thought I was omnipotent. No way. I never thought that. But it's just that I would be so busy that I just didn't pay attention. And I regret that, because I have two lovely grandsons now that I want to be able to see graduate from high school and college and go on with their lives. And I don't know if I'll be here to see it because my husband wasn't. Mm. And that makes me sad. It really does.
Well, are you on a donor list? How does it work? Because you're going to need a transplant, right?
Yes, I need a transplant. So last summer, I spent the whole summer getting on the transplant list. So I'm on the U of M's transplant list. And but people who want to know more about that, they can go to mhealth.donor.screen. No, mhealth.donorscreen.org if they're interested in helping me. Or go to the National Kidney Foundation and find out about this disease. Because the thing is, I didn't know you could live with one kidney. So both my kidneys are bad. So if one of my kidneys was okay, it would be okay. Not okay, but, you know, I still would have to modify my lifestyle a little bit. And but the fact of the matter is, yes, I'm on the kidney donor list. And this summer, I have to go back through that whole battery of assessments again to remain on the list.
Oh, that's how it works, is they have to update it annually to see where you fit, huh?
Yeah, they update it annually to make sure you're still a candidate to be on the list. If not, you can get removed. Because I got COVID from my five-month-old grandson.
Okay.
But when I got COVID, they want you to notify them, so I notified them, and they put me, I still stayed on the list, but I was at what's called an inactive status. So there are things that could put you in jeopardy of, you know, you could be put on the inactive status, or you could be taken off the list depending on your behaviors. And so far, I've been behaving pretty good. So
okay, that's good news. Yeah, I would think nothing less. But if you were to give, you know, there are lots of young leaders out there, male, female, African American, fall into your category. You become consumed with a job, a career. It's never ending. You never have enough time in the day. You're always trying to solve problems and thinking about it. And so you forego on some things that could be critically important to you because you just focus on the here and now. What do you tell those people?
Slow down. Make your doctor's appointment. And when you go, listen, take notes, and review them and understand what your doctor is saying to you. And I also know that, you know, try to make adjustments right away. If I had caught this earlier and paid attention, you know, like I'm skipping into stage 5 right now. And kidney is a slow disease, so it's not like cancer. It's not as aggressive. It doesn't go all over the body. It just stays in the kidney. So for that, you know, it's not going to metastasize to another organ or to another part of the mm-hmm. body. It's just the kidney. So the main thing to do is and find time to relax and find time to get away. And my husband used to do that for me. He used to pick me up on a Friday. He says, we're going to Duluth. And I would just push back. I don't have time to do that. I mean, I would kind of argue with him about it. He said, we're going. And as soon as we got 35W up by White Bear, I would fall asleep.
Absolutely. Your body would just, you told your body it was okay to shut down, and it was shut down, right?
Yes, right, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I got to tell you something. Michelle Fisher reached out to me, and she considers you a great mentor, and I met with Marcia Wyatt today, another person that you mentored. Yeah. And I mean, the people that you've influenced and how they've stepped up on your side and are behind you and trying to work with you and work through this with you, that has to be gratifying by itself, because these are teachers that are still in the Minneapolis Public School District. Some have moved on, but you mean the world to them.
Oh, I know. It just made me, I didn't know about Marcia, but I certainly knew about Michelle because she called me and told me. I'm like, Michelle, my teachers and I, we had a really good relationship. I mean, we didn't agree on everything, and sometimes we did you know, disagree, and but we were always professional, with one another, and always could talk about what was going on in the school and what needed to happen. And so that I'm so gratified by the fact that two teachers in Minneapolis recognized
many more than two. Those are just the two that I've spoke to, but they've said the same thing. So last question for you. What can people do? What do you recommend based on what you've gone through and to be a donor, all those things?
So I think if they want to be a donor, they can contact, like I said, mhealth.donorscreen.org, and they can go fill out, and then they'll ask for my birthday, so I'll just give that out, 11/12/1959. But the real thing is, for them personally, this is about me, but it's also about the clarion call for everybody out there to pay attention. And what I say is, do some moderate exercise. I don't care, walk 2 times a week. Do something that's, you don't have to run a marathon, but you must be active. You must reduce your salt intake. You must eliminate or reduce the stress. And if you are on medication, take it. Take the medicine. And take the medicine as prescribed, and that's important. And see your doctor regularly for physicals. And make sure that you're asking them the questions, because they're there to support and serve you. And you do them no good and yourself no good if you don't ask questions. Like, what can I do to slow this disease down? What can I do to make sure I'm in the best condition that I need to be in?
Yep. Yeah, Bernard, we will stay in touch with you. I got a TV piece coming on you on Friday, but I appreciate it very much. Thank you for giving us some time.
Thank you.
You're in our thoughts and prayers. You know that.
So much. Thank you. I know. Thank you so very much.
You bet. Bernadia Johnson. Wow. That's some heavy stuff. Stay with us. Sports to the Max. Sports to the Max. Let's check in on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline with Royce White, former first-round pick, now running against Ilhan Omar for a seat in Congress, and he joins us now. Royce, before we talk politics, what did you think of the Timberwolves season and their bow out to Memphis?
I thought they had a good season. I thought they overachieved. I think Finch did a good job of getting those guys ready to play Memphis. They dropped 2 games that they should have won, and they should have been advanced into the second round for sure. I think there's a lot to build on going into next season.
So. Do you think that they're on the verge of being a real contender in the West, or are they a long ways away?
I mean, the West is getting airtight. You know, you got a lot of series going. I mean, the entire league at the top in the playoffs is showing or shaping up to be very competitive across the board. You're seeing a lot of game sevens happening. So I think they're closer than they realize, for sure. But it always is going to come down to culture. Right. And some guys can be taught culture and some guys can't. Some coaches can compensate for the culture that they lack. Some guys can. And sometimes talent does it for you. So, you know, all of those things are to be figured out for them.
Patrick Beverley spouted off about Chris Paul. Do you find that to be fair play, or do you say that's a no-no? Did he break a code?
I'm not familiar with what he said about Chris Paul. What was the comment?
He basically called him out as not being a tough guy. You know, last year they had their altercation in the playoffs, and then when Phoenix lost this year, Beverly, who had this back and forth with him that led to a suspension for Beverly, he basically said Paul's not a tough guy, nobody fears him, all those things, and he was very public about it. And not that guys don't have those opinions, but the fact that he was public about it, would that be disturbing to you or not?
No, not at all. I mean, I think overall the NBA has become really soft, especially from a social standpoint and around, you know, the expectations of guys publicly and the things they can or can't say or are supposed to or not supposed to say. Personally, I think Chris Paul is a sellout myself. So, I mean, whatever he said, fair play to him. I like Patrick Beverley. He's a dog. He plays hard. I think he might blew a game there, pissing off Ja Morant with the way he trash talks. But you got to love it, and that's the culture that you want, and you would rather lose and go down building a tough culture than to just give games away out of friendship.
For sure. Understood. Now, you got a town hall meeting coming up in your run
that's
for
right.
office. Explain where it is and what it will be about.
Well, we're doing a town hall through a new a new foundation, you could say, a new organization called the Free People of America, and it will be at the Minneapolis Convention Center on Saturday afternoon from 2 to 5. And the topic is referendum, referendum on American politics, referendum on America, the idea of America, many political issues on the table, obviously, from many, many different walks of life and many different angles and worldviews. So we just plan to tackle a lot of those issues, and this will be the first of many town halls, but we urge people to get out there. It's the first 300 tickets are free. We really want to just drive engagement and have people understand that there is a new Republican Party in Minnesota. And I don't say that to be grandiose. I mean that there is a genuine split between the traditional Republican establishment and the America First movement. And people have to understand that. And I think it's the only way for us to reach across the aisle or reach into the constituency that has otherwise not voted in the past. And form a new constituency that sees the value in the America First agenda.
So what are we going to have? You're going to be up on stage? What kind of a format is it?
Well, we have a panel. There'll be a panel for the first hour and a half to 2 hours. And then for the next hour to hour and a half, we're going to open it up to the crowd for Q&A. And the entire thing is going to be streamed live. It's going to air on YouTube that day live and also on Getter, which is the new conservative social media platform. So we're all hooked up to stream live across a few platforms. I think it's going to premiere on Facebook Live as well. And the goal is to address the crisis of leadership, but ultimately to address the crisis of culture, which we can only do from breaking these ideas and topics down to the bare bones and getting to the to the meat of what needs to be discussed and what needs to be done going forward.
At the crux, what would you say differentiates you from Ilhan Omar?
Well, number one, I'm not in on it. I say that jokingly, but with all sincerity, a good portion of the politicians, besides Ilhan, I mean, Ilhan's certainly an example, but a good portion of all the politicians in the field currently are in on it. And when I say in on it, I mean they're in on a uniparty scam to undermine the citizenship of the American people and specifically the working class. This entire globalism initiative is predicated on one idea alone, that the working class is no longer necessary as technology and automation continue to grow. And they will ship our jobs across seas or to whoever they need to until the technology gets to a point where they don't really need people at all. And each sector has begun to show the ramifications of that. And we haven't done what we need to do about it. Now you got inflation and job insecurity, food shortages. The whole thing is crumbling. So there's a lot to talk about.
All right. And when you go into her district to campaign, how does it go?
Well, I'm from the neighborhood. Yeah. Ilhan's actually not from Minneapolis. I was born and raised.
Born and raised right here. You can see the IDS Tower from your window.
You've known my family for many generations.
Yeah.
So, I'm from the community. So, I think one of the huge disservices that the American media has done is frame the two political parties in a very misleading way, misinformative way. And so I have to rectify some of that. And people are very confused that I would even run as a Republican. But I try and remind people that the Republican Party is going through its own civil war and that there's going to be a new Republican Party that comes when the smoke clears. And ultimately, I was born and raised a Catholic and a Christian. And the Democratic platform and the far left, for sure, including Ilhan Omar and the rest of the squad, have deviated greatly from any reverence for spiritual faith or spiritual life. There's almost an anti-God sentiment that has crept up and grown over the American culture as a whole, especially through mainstream media. So, I can't be aligned on the left categorically because I believe in God and they openly reject God. So we got to get the parameters of this thing back reoriented and set and then try and grow a constituency from there. That's what I aim to do.
Royce, appreciate your time, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, brother. Hope we see you on Saturday.
You got Royce White. Nice enough to join us. And I would disagree with him on one thing. We don't have time, but I think a lot of the people on the left are very much Christians and devout Christians. We may see, the left and the right may see the world a little bit different, but I think that there are a lot of devout Christians and devout people of faith on all political parties. Sports to the Max will continue after this short but important break. Welcome back. Wow. We got a good one brewing. The Minnesota United just tied at 1-1 with LA late in the game. Wonderwall, get ready. Just when you thought they had no offense, kaboom! They strike in a big way. Change the game. Tubbsy, do you think soccer needs more scoring?
Yeah, I'd love more scoring in soccer. But, you know, I understand it's part of the beautiful game, as they call it, and, you know, so.
What's that music I hear? We're not done, are we?
No, it's Wonderwall.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's going to be the day that they're going to come back to you.
What, you know, when they do extra time, when they assess extra time in these games, what does that mean? Is it just a random? Do they just come up with a random number? How do they decide?
I think, and I could be wrong here, and I probably am, but I think it's like when somebody goes down, you know, there's like an injury or...
Yeah, because they're not in no hurry to get off the field. They're going, the clock's running. What's going on here? Stop the clock. And they don't. But how do they make that up?
I think there's, you know, like an official scorer that will keep the time. And I think they just add that to the end. So if there's, you know, 20 minutes of...
Is that arbitrary, though? Like, let's say the game is 3-0. Might they say, hey, there's no sense in us giving...
No, I think they put it on regardless.
Do they?
I think so. I mean, I don't see why... Because you never know. I mean, that's like saying, you know what, this team's down 6
No,
runs.
I know what you mean, but I didn't know if there were some kind of unwritten rules, you know?
I don't know if there's any unwritten rules in soccer.
Every 2 minutes somebody's getting hurt.
Yeah, well, I think that's why they just add all that extra time, you know?
But do you know going to the end of the game how much extra time is there so that strategically you can say, okay, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to play these people because we have X amount of time left? Does everybody know that on the bench, or how does it work?
Yeah, I'm sure that the coaches know. Like, I'm sure that there's somebody on staff that...
I mean, okay, I should know this, but I don't study soccer enough to know.
Yeah, I have to imagine there's somebody on the coaching staff that is aware...
He's in charge of extra time?
Yeah, we've got so much extra time because...
That could be his title, assistant coach, extra time.
Yeah.
It's like you have an assistant coach, wide receiver.
So again, I mean, between ponies and soccer, I feel like, you know, it's not my strong, but I would, because I'm always, I know that there's going to be extra time, but I don't think it's like an arbitrary, hey, 15 or 20 minutes. I think it's just to make up so you're not getting shorter during the game because they don't have that stoppage.
And you can't fake injuries, right?
No, you never fake injuries in soccer.
You know what I'm saying? You want to minimize how much a guy might be down, especially if his team's winning.
Oh, I don't think that matters. I mean, you know, those injuries are going to happen regardless. It's a brutal game.
Yeah. They'd never take a dive for their team. No. Hey, Doc Oz came back strong after we signed off last night.
Oh, did he? Oz?
He's in the game now.
Oz won Pennsylvania?
No, he didn't win it. I think it's like less than 1,000. They have to do a recount or something.
Yeah, got
to
wait for those mail-in ballots?
I don't know if it's the mail-in ballots or what they're waiting for, but I had him done.
Huh?
And in the late innings, he came back with a 3-run homer, it looks like.
Dr. Oz, Dr. Pepper, Dr. You know? I mean, I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, so you and I were, I mean, you and I didn't know really that much about the race. We were just speculating, conjecture was, that he was down quite a bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. As they say, every vote matters. So, I mean, I know that they weren't going to give us an answer until this morning, and apparently now that still is going to be pushed out a day
or
two.
Well, yeah, I guess I haven't followed it tonight. As of this morning, they were, you know, they were both claiming they'd be the victor, you know?
Oh, of course. Well, you know, everybody's going to claim to be the victor.
Remember when Norm Coleman and Al Franken, that thing went on for months, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's elections, you know, like we were talking about last time, Maxie. I mean, it's messy. There's a lot of,
elections have consequences, I always say.
Yeah, they absolutely do. We've seen that before. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if it's, you know, we'll find out where it is and then we'll deal with it come, you know what, November.
November will be the next big one.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but it seems like they're advertising earlier than ever.
Oh, I think there's just, I think it's all over, even if you're not seeing it on TV. I mean, you're seeing it on Facebook, you're seeing it on Twitter. I don't know much about Instagram. I mean, YouTube. I mean, anywhere you look, any of your communication channels, you're going to see something about politics.
Yeah, you can't miss it. It just seems like they're actually advertising for the November election earlier than ever. You know what I mean?
You can't get away from it.
Yeah, and I know you enjoy the primary season more than most.
Oh, are you kidding? You get me some wine and cheese, and I'm going to sit down.
A primary to the primary.
I will watch the hell out of that primary.
Yeah. All right, Tubbsy, good stuff as always.
All right, see you tomorrow.
Let's do it again tomorrow, okay?
You got it, Maxie.
He's Chris Tubbs. I'm Mike Max. Henry Lake is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.